Lord willing, tonight and the next two Wednesdays, we'll be looking here at three truths in John chapter 5. Here's the first one. Christ is God. That's a powerful statement. A lot of people want to string me up for that. That's why it couldn't be too bad, Kevin. What would we just read? They sought to kill him because he had performed this miracle on the Sabbath and because he said he was equal with God. Christ is God. Christmas is right around the corner. And that's what I want to look at tonight, the person and the work of Christ. Who is he? That's preaching Christ and him crucified. That's the person. Who he is. Because that determines the work. That's the quality of the work. That's how sure the work is. It matters on who the workman was. So we need to see his person. That's what we'll focus on most tonight. And we're going to see his work at the end of it. And hopefully next Wednesday, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the Almighty God in human flesh. That's who he is. He came to this earth to give life to his people, that they might have it more abundantly, the scriptures say. He came to give life to his people. He came to seek and to save the lost. Plumb lost. They gave life because that's dead. He came to give life. And third, that this same Jesus, this God-man, this Savior, mediator, priest, king, he will come again and he will raise those that believe in him. He's coming again. Our Lord speaks here and he gives us three verily, verilys in this chapter. Verily, verily. Verily means truly, firm, sure, trustworthy. Trustworthy. And he gives it to us twice. Trustworthy, trustworthy. Sure, firm. He says in verse 19, John 5, 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you. That's three. Truth. Truth, and I say it. You think we can pay attention to that for 30 minutes? God Almighty, in human flesh, said of a truth. Of a truth. And here's why it's true. I said it. He doesn't say what is true. What he says is true. You understand? He doesn't make it true, and then he says it. It's true because he said it. So there's three sections here in this chapter we need to pay close attention to. If I don't get a hold of your attention and don't keep a hold of you, I don't know what will. It doesn't do a man no good to say he believes God and not be prepared to receive his word. Not be prepared to hear it. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. 4. The Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. 4. As the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, gives them life, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Who's he going to make alive? Who he will. Who's the Father going to make alive? Whoever he wills. Whoever it pleases him to do so. 4. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. This is a man speaking to these high-minded Pharisees. And he's saying, I can do nothing but his. I do his will. Boy, that ain't like us, is it? Because his will is the Son's will. It's the same. He said, I do his will. I'm not like you. I don't go out and do what I think's best. I honor the Father. He's established. He's God in flesh. He's not like us. And then the Father exalted him because he set him to judgment. He said, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Whenever that day comes, we go to judgment. It's not going to be some friendly old grandfather type with a bald spot and big fluffy beard and kind. You're going to meet Jesus Christ, the Lord. He sets in judgment of all. That's at the end of verse 22. There's a colon there. Here's the reason. This is what I want to focus on this evening. John 5:23. That all men should honor the Son, even in the same way as they honor the Father. This statement was coming after these religious people were angry with the Lord. They were mad because He was making Himself equal to God, says there in verse 18. This made them rage. They wanted to persecute Him, and then they wanted to kill Him. How can we kill Him? We got to kill Him. This happens often, doesn't it? It says over in John 10, our Lord said, I and my Father are one. We're one. And the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. And Jesus answered, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? I've healed the lame. I've gave sight to the blind. Which one of those are you going to stone me over? Which one of those are you going to kill me over? And the Jews answered Him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not. We ain't mad about them miracles. But for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Because you said you're God. And we don't like God. That's what they're saying. We want to kill Him. We made ourselves God. Christ says here in verse 23, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son. What's that mean? Him that doesn't give complete glory and total worship and complete honor to the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. We had a look at the beginning of this chapter back in June. I don't know if y'all remember that. We looked at the man being healed here at the pool of Bethesda. But I want to refresh our memory of it. It was at this pool of Bethesda. There was a certain man lying on a bed. We just read it, but I want to try to simplify it for you. And he'd been there, been lame on this little portable makeshift bed for 38 years. He'd been laying there. You imagine what kind of condition he was in. I think I'm in pretty good shape. If I sat down to watch TV and I tuck my leg up underneath my other leg and I sit there for 38 minutes, whenever I get up, boy, I'm hobbling. I got to stretch a little bit. You got to kind of loosen up some, don't you? Leg goes numb. This man had been laying there lame for 38 years. And the Lord came to this man and He asked him a question. Look up here in verse 6, John 5, 6. I'm fortunate this evening. My whole text is on two pages. I don't have to turn it. We'll be in two scriptures tonight. We'll be here in John 5, and at the end we'll turn one time. But John 5, verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie, and He knew that he had been now a long time in that case, He saith unto them, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? That's what we looked at in June. And this man replied, verse 7. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. I have no man. What's he saying? I have no one to help me. I have no one to help me. I can't do it myself, and there is no help. Nobody help me. What, help him do what exactly? There's this angel come down, and it troubled the waters. And whoever was the first one to make it into those waters, whenever those waters got stirred up and churned up, they were made whole. They're made whole. And this man says, I'd love to be made whole. But myself, I can't do it. And there ain't a man alive I know that can do it. I've been here for 38 years, and every time I try to crawl my elbows to get down there. Before I can get to those waters, somebody's beat me to it. Somebody else has got there. I'm unable. It's impossible with men. That's what he's saying. Will you be made whole? It ain't possible with man. And you ain't able. Verse 8. John 5, 8 says, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately. Remember what I said about sitting for 38 minutes? Immediately, the man was made whole, and he took up his bed, and he walked. This man, lame for 38 years, stiff like a dead man, on the word and power of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to him. That man heard with his ear. He heard in the heart. The Lord pierced his heart. And he popped up and he grabbed that bed and he threw it over his shoulder and he started walking. He obeyed God immediately. He was enabled and he obeyed. This wasn't a big point of contention. They weren't mad because the Lord did something good, did it? But look here at the end of verse 9. It says, and on the same day was the Sabbath. That was the problem. This man's walking down the street, been there for 38 years. Everybody knew him. They said, oh, look, there he goes. Hey, buddy, you're walking. Oh, there was a, what happened? Oh, it's wonderful. Good for you. Maybe I can walk soon, too. Maybe I can hear soon. Maybe I can see soon. I'm thankful. Good on you. But some of these religious folks, They saw him walking with his bed, and instead of being amazed, instead of being awestruck, instead of running up to him and asking him questions, what changed in you? What happened in you? They said, you can't carry a bed on a Sabbath day. We don't care about your health. We don't care about you being made whole. You can't break our religious traditions. He says in verse 10, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Verse 11 says, and he answered them. This man had a work done in the heart. The Lord gave him some boldness. He's back talking these theologians. He knew God. I wouldn't give you 10 cents for a theologian. That means theology is the study of God. You got to know God to study Him. People do biographies all the time. You can go find 100 biographies on Abraham Lincoln, and ain't a one of them ever met Him. Right there's a man that met God. He knew something, and he was emboldened, and here's what he said. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Here's what I know. God spoke to me. He said, you take your bed and walk. And I got to walking. And I took my bed with me. I didn't leave it. Why didn't you leave it? He said, take it. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what the purpose is. I'm going to do what he says. What's he mean by that? That's so simple, isn't it? That's so short. Such a short answer. Here's what the man's getting at. That man that loved me and cared for me when no one else would. In my weakness. In my lameness. He told me to carry my bed. That man came to me in the very hour of need. No other man was there. He told me to carry my bed. That man spoke to me in mercy. He spoke to me in grace. I didn't do anything to deserve this. I didn't seek him out. He found me. He came to me. He could have walked right on by like everybody else and been justified in doing so. He told me to. That's why I'm carrying this bed. He that spoke the words of power. He said it, and I instantly have the ability to do it. I stood up for the first time in 38 years, and I'm going to get up and walk. And I intend to do just exactly what he tells me to do. I'm going to obey his word. What that means is if what he says, what the Lord says, conflicts with what you say or your bylaws say or what somebody thinks, what anybody else says or thinks, too bad. I don't care. He gave me the power to stand. He made me whole. And you're going to have to get over it. I'm going to take this bed and walk. Where are you going? I don't know. I'm just walking. I'm going to pick a direction and go with it. I believe that He's the Son of God and His Word is my law. That's what He's saying. What's my point? Honor the Son. Honor the Son. No matter the cost, no matter the difference of opinion, no matter what family member or whatever is at stake, if you see Him, if you've heard Him, if in power He's come to you, honor Him. Honor Him. You won't be ashamed. You still have verse 11? Look at the end of it. He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. He said, and that's God. I told a man one time, he said, what do they preach down there where you go to church? And I said, they preach Christ. They preach His person and His work. What He came to do. Where He is now. What He accomplished. What's finished. Finished. What are you going to add to it? Nothing. It's finished. They preach Christ and Him crucified. Not sometimes. There's some people experiencing that right now. A friend of mine preaches and he said, what do you preach? Said, Christ all the time. And some fella showed up and started going. And he thought this was a good Reformed church. Well, boy, he's finding out they preach Christ every time. They really did mean it. Not sometimes, every time. And that man looked at me and he said, you're taking glory from the Father. I come off guard. What kind of nonsense? You study the Bible. I thought about Christ speaking to Nicodemus. Aren't you a master of Israel and you don't know these things? It took me a second. I was taken aback. It took me a second to gather my thoughts. And it probably seemed like 10 minutes. It was probably a second or two. And I thought of this scripture. I thought of this verse, our text here, verse 23. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. If you honor the Son, you honor the Father. They go hand in hand. They're one. If you don't honor the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not honoring the Father. When you honor the Son as you do the Father, you're not robbing God. You're not robbing the Father of honor and glory. You're giving Him honor and glory when you honor His Son. Man cannot praise and they cannot honor Christ too much. Don't you worry about that. You ain't going to do it. You ain't going to do it too much. Our lips in this earthen vessel, in this body of death that we were born into of Adam, you ain't ever going to honor Him too much. Not in this world. Man can't think too highly of Christ. You can't exalt His name too highly. It's impossible. That's what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. He said, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." That's everything. "That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Why? To the glory of God the Father. You praise Him, you're praising the Father. And if you honor not the Son, you are not honoring the Father. It goes hand in hand. John told us in John 15, the Christ spoke in John 15, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." You can't disregard Christ and still love God the Father. They go hand in hand. John wrote to us in 1 John 2, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father." If you deny Christ, you're denying the Father. You don't have the Father. He said in 1 John 5, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." If you believe on the Son, you have a witness in you. What's that witness? The earnest of our inheritance. We read in Ephesians 1. The Spirit's with you. God, the Holy Spirit, abides in you. "He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son." God gave the record. When we deny or we put doubt on Christ, me or any other preacher, you go turn on TV, if there's a shadow of doubt in anything put on Christ, we're calling God a liar. Now, those things are important, ain't they? I'll give you four examples. Four examples of putting doubt on Christ. Redemption. I made a decision for Jesus. You're calling God a liar. Well, I contributed. I helped out. I believed. I had faith. I had something. I. Isn't that what that Pharisee prayed in the temple? You're calling God a liar. Sanctification. Well, He saved me, but I've got to be more separated now. Oh, now I've got to be holy. I've got to make myself holy. You're calling God a liar. Righteousness. He saved me. He gave me His nature. But now I've got to produce more fruit. We got to be fruit inspectors, and we ought not do these things. And it's not holy. This is fruit. It's a little different. Wisdom. Lord, save me. Now I got to earn a higher degree of knowledge. I have to become a scholar in these things. My big brains want to get me through it. I'm a mental giant, and by me studying, I'm going to gain some wisdom. That's calling God a liar. Here's what Paul wrote to us: "But of Him," that's of the Father, "are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us." Christ is made unto us of God. The Father did this. Made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. What can you add to any of that? If you add any up to it, you're not honoring the Son. You're saying, "I need to put my 2 cents in." That, according as it is written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Why is it set up that way? He gets all the glory, man doesn't. If you're lame for 38 years and the Lord saves you, you wouldn't have it any other way. If you did surgery on your own leg, you'll say, "Well, I had a little help. I had a co-pilot. I had some assistant." John wrote to us in 2 John 1:9, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ," what's that? His teaching, His person, His life, His accomplished work on the cross, Him, "hath not God." If they forsake, if they transgress that doctrine of Christ, they don't have God. If someone preaches God, I've heard that a whole lot. Well, my preacher, they preach a lot of truths. They tell us a lot about God. They don't say much about Christ, though. They're preaching a little G God. They don't believe the record that the Father gave of His Son. They're calling God a liar. Kevin, that's rough. That's rough. Go read it. 2 John, verse 9. It's only one chapter. God said so. He goes on to say, "He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." If you believe on Christ, what do you have? You have the Father and you have the Son. That's called eternal life. You have it. The way to know God. People say, I want to know God. You got to know Christ. I want to worship God. How are you going to worship God? Worship His Son. Honor His Son. I want to believe God. Believe Christ. They are one. The Father and the Son are one. This time of year, many people, they will hear this text I'm about to read, and I pray that it doesn't go in one ear and out the other. Because you're going to be judged by the words that come out of your mouth. You know what we looked at the other day? He said, I'll judge you out of your own mouth. People quote this all the time. Here's what the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord Jehovah, the self-existent one, the Lord of hosts, here's what He said to Isaiah. For unto us a child is born. What's that mean? That's man-child. That's human flesh, isn't it? Unto us, there's a child born. We know what that means. Unto us a son is given. God the Father gave His Son, the eternal God from heaven, who always is and always will be, gave us a son. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He told Nicodemus, He who descended is the only one that can ascend. We didn't descend. We came to be here. He always was. The eternal God-man. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. He's going to be Lord of all. All of it. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Kevin, you can't say that. I didn't. The Lord told Isaiah that. Emmanuel, God with us. That's who He is. Hebrews 1:8 says, But unto the Son, He saith, the Father says this to the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The Father speaking to the Son. On that Mount of Transfiguration, we can learn a lot from that. Christ took Peter, James, and John. He took Peter and those sons of thunder up that mountain. And Moses and Elijah, who'd been dead for a long time gone, appeared with Him. Here's Moses, a picture of the law. He wrote the first five books of the Bible. There's the law. There's Elijah. That's the prophet. The prophet. All the prophets wrapped up in him. Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophet, and right between them, the God-man, the Son of God. And those apostles, they watched Moses and they watched Elijah speak with Christ. And they bore Him witness. Both of them did. The law bore Him witness. The prophets bore Him witness. And you know what they talked about? The death of Christ. His work. They knew who He was. They're standing there talking with Him. They've been with Him in glory for a couple hundred years. And they talked about His death, that He was to accomplish. That's what they spoke of. Well, eventually Moses was gone. Peter, James, and John's there. Eventually Elijah's gone. And Christ is there. Christ along with Him. And God's glory landed on Him, and He glistened. He glistened. And Peter said, let's make three tabernacles. We're going to make it here to honor the law, Moses. We're going to make a tabernacle to honor Elijah, the prophets, the men, the tools that God used, the voice, the mouthpiece that God used. And we're going to make one for you. And right when He said that, as He spoke, the heavens opened, and the God the Father spoke, and He said, this is My Son. How are you going to please God? In whom? In Him I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Man's so quick to hear the law. Boy, our nature eats that up. What can I do? The gospel ain't do. The gospel's done. That's the good news. Ain't something to do. It's what's done. And they're so fast to hear what a man said. It hurts me so bad sometimes. Oh, Arthur Pink, I love the man. Oh, he's got some good writings. But you know, if he was to come here and preach for us, he would get up here and he'd tongue lash you all for about 5 or 10 minutes before he preached. You know why? You women ain't got your heads covered. He's just a man, isn't he? He's just a man. Man, our nature is so fast to run to law, run to prophets, run to somebody else, consult with flesh and blood. That ain't what Samuel did, was it? When he didn't know God, it says so, he went to Eli and said, hey, I heard you calling for me. He said, I didn't call for you, son. Go back to bed. I'll try not to get in next week's message too much. But he went the second time. He said, I heard Samuel, you said something to me. Eli said, son, I didn't. He said, the Lord's speaking to you. He said, whenever you hear him say that, you say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. He didn't consult with flesh and blood after he heard the Lord, after he knew the Lord. Paul didn't either. The Father says, hear my son. Don't you worry about that law. Don't you worry about them prophets. You hear my son. Law won't do. We read there in Romans. Let me turn over there. I wrote it down real quick at the end. Romans 8 tells us, Paul was writing to us, and he says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak in the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. The law is fulfilled in Him. What about the prophets? It's not a prophet either. In Hebrews 1:1 says, God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. That's who He's going to speak through. To honor the Son, even as the Father. Christ taught His disciples. He said, I and my Father are one. And Philip spoke up and said, just show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And the Lord replied, have I been with you so long? And ye hast not known me, Philip. He that seen me hath seen the Father, the one. Jesus born in Bethlehem, the one that walked this earth, the one that hung on that cross in Calvary as a substitute for His people, is Almighty God. That's who He is. He came to this earth to redeem a people for His glory, for His kingdom. That's what He came to do. That's what the Bible teaches. And it's true. It's verily, verily. Why? He said so. He said so. That's who He is. There's no way for any man, woman, or child to know God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only revelation of God in human flesh. In Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means in a body. There's an appointed day that God's going to judge this world by the man, Christ Jesus. He's going to be the one that sets in judgment. And so many talk about judgment, don't they? There's flyers all over the place. These crazy people sitting on the sides of the road with cardboard signs. Judgment's coming. Here's what the judgment's going to be. You're going to be compared to the holiness and perfection of Christ Jesus as He walked this earth. And the question's going to be, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is He? Do you honor Him or do you honor yourself? Do you want to try to keep that law or did He keep it for you? You going to try to honor those prophets or did He honor them, fulfill them? Him or another? Do you have a mediator? Do you have a high priest, a go-between? Do you have an offering for sin? Blood of man ain't going to work. Blood of bulls and goats, the Lord won't have it. He won't take our sacrifices. Do you have someone to put away your guilt? Do you have a substitute? Those born of Adam cannot stand in front of a holy God. They can't remove their own guilt. Brother Todd was preaching out in Danville Tuesday night about substitution. I'd encourage you to go listen to it. That was wonderful. What we see as substitution, we try to use man's words to describe it. You have a substitute teacher or a pinch hitter in baseball or something like that. It goes beyond that. That exchanges it. I can take a beating for you, but you still committed the crime. The Lord took our guilt. Took our guilt. The act of it. Why was He silent like a sheep before the shearers is dumb? Whenever they accused Him, when they took Him up there, He didn't have anything to say. It was guilt. We had been put in Him, and He had been put in us. That's what took place. Our hope of eternal life is to believe on Him, to honor Him alone, to bow to Him alone, to confess Him alone. What'd you do? I didn't do nothing. Like those, that parable of the talents. Lord, here's your talents. Here's your silver. It's yours, and any increase is yours. And to believe Him alone. There in Romans 10 it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe Him in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. That means if God has made Him Lord and Christ, ye shall be saved. Thou shalt be saved. That's who does the work. That's the person. He's in the business of salvation. And that's the one that does all the work in that business. Turn over to 2 Corinthians and I'll close. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What becomes new? All things. I was talking to one of God's saints today and he noticed some things that were different. He said, this just started happening. And I said, no, it always has happened. Something's new in you. Something's new in you. What else is new? All things. Salvation's new. Well, I used to always think it was this. That's what Grandma and Grandpa always told me. That's what somebody else told me. Well, I see him now. He's salvation. This ain't a systematic theology. It's a person. What about creation? Big bangs or whatever kind of nonsense people want to think. All that stuff. And a lot of people say, well, I know God created the heavens and the earth. Boy, now you start looking different, don't you? Because you know who created it. I know a whole lot of country songs, but I know a few songs that one of my friends wrote. I know who wrote that song. Boy, it's more precious than the other ones, isn't it? What about providence? Well, everything happens for a reason. Hooey. Everything happens on the will of God. That's what happens. Every molecule that's ever moved throughout time, He's controlled in His creation for His salvation of His people. That's new. That's new. He didn't know those things before. Paul, go read 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul, you want to know if somebody's God's elect? He tells you plainly, doesn't he? You leave him idols. You knock it off because it's sickening to you and you want him. You don't want stuff, things and ideas and, this is how we do things. You bow to a person. That's what his elect do. That's what his children do. He says, all things become new. Verse 18. And all things are of God. The creation, the providence, the salvation. That's everything. There ain't nothing else you could think of that doesn't fall in one of them three things. Who hath reconciled us to himself. That means made at-one-ment, atonement. We left. We went astray. All like sheep have gone astray. We forsook God. We couldn't stand him. We was just like them Jews. We wanted to stone him to death as fast as we could get our hands on him. God says the heart's at enmity with him. You're at war with him. It is enmity. It is war with him. And he has reconciled us. He did the work to himself. Brought us to a person. How did he do that? By Jesus Christ. How's a man reconciled to God? By Jesus Christ. You ain't reconciled to God by baptism. By sprinkling of water and getting somebody wet. You ain't reconciled to God by signing a pledge card. You ain't reconciled to God by walking an aisle. You're not reconciled to God by an experience or a warm, fuzzy, ooey-gooey feeling on the inside. You're reconciled to God by a person. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us this good news, this gospel to tell people about. Just like that lame man. What did he talk about? Did he talk about all the stuff he did? He said, there's one that made me whole. He told me to do something, I'm doing it. He made me whole. That's what he told. That was his profession, wasn't it? But what's this gospel of? This ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. Here's part of it. To wit, that God was in Christ. Isn't that what we've been looking at all evening? They're one. He's God. God was in Christ. Reconciling the world unto himself. God was doing his own will. He was satisfying his own law. Glorifying his own name for a people. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. He didn't count. People try to over-explain the Lord's words till they're blue in the face and they talk away the gospel. They'll spend 2.5 hours saying something. Here's what imputation means. It's an accounting term. You go to the grocery store and you want to buy pasta and you look at the shelf and there's 10 boxes of pasta on the shelf and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You impute 10 boxes to that shelf. Why? There's 10 boxes on the shelf. You go up and there's 5. You impute 5 because that's what's there. You take account. You reckon. It all means the same. He didn't reckon your sins there. He didn't impute your sins to your trespasses. Why? They wasn't there. Where did they go? To his son. That's where they went. And hath committed unto us this word of reconciliation. Now then we are the ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. look at this next time, but hear the word of the Lord. He speaks to men. How's he going to speak to them? He doesn't audibly speak to them. That last time was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He'll use my mouth, but me talking is only half of it. Hear his word. He uses his people, his preachers, to preach the gospel to people. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's by him, isn't it? We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. What's that mean? Come to him. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Honor him. Surrender to him. Stack arms. Lay your shotguns down. Quit fighting. Quit trying. Quit doing and bow. Quit butting and bow. That's what his word says. Honor the Son, you honor the Father. You have life. This last verse, three people was mentioned. This here's the gospel. Here's the gospel. Verse 21. For he, that's the Father, hath made him, that's Christ the Son, to be sin for us. That's those he was made sin for. His people. Who he didn't know any sin. Who knew no sin. That we, he was innocent. Innocent sacrifice. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Being God's presence, you've got to be holy. How's that going to happen? Christ is going to have to take your sin from you. Bear the wrath, bear the judgment, bear the punishment, bear the guilt, bear the shame for you. He puts in you because it's there. Imputed righteousness means righteousness is there. Puts in him. May the righteousness of God in him. He that honors the Son honors the Father. That's a God worth honoring, isn't it? I pray we can honor him here forevermore.